Welcome to Grit, Grace, and Glitz. I'm your host, Erica Rothenberger, and I'm so excited for you to join me and my amazing guests every week as you learn how to get gritty, how to give yourself the grace that you deserve, and to celebrate all the glitz that comes to you along the way. Are you ready to unlock your potential? Let's do this.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. So if you are listening to this, my name is Monique Scripp. You are either listening to this on my podcast, the Legacy Leader Podcast, or I am here with Erica Rothenberger. Hello, Erica.
Hey, how are you?
I am so good. And Erica has the Grit, Grace, and Glitz podcast. And so we are using today's conversation on both platforms. So welcome wherever you are listening from. And Erica, I am so excited for my audience to hear from you because I think you are phenomenal. We are new friends and we had done a training for your Isogenics team and I really loved your energy. I love what you have built. I love the way that you run your life and business. You have some unique ways that you are still, you know, you still have a foot in the corporate world, and then you are also building something phenomenal. I think you have a lot of great things that people can learn from. So can you share with my audience specifically a little bit more about you?
Absolutely. Well, first and foremost, Monique, I am so excited to be here meeting you and your business partner and just learning from you. And I always say, listen, every training I attend, whether, you know, you've been doing something for 5 days, 5 years, 50 years, it doesn't matter. You can always learn new bits and new information. I love seeing that collaboration happen across industries, right? Like being more collaborative than competitive. And I think that just makes the entire industry, no matter what industry or what hat you're wearing, really rise to the occasion. So with that being said, my name is Erica Rothenberger. I am originally from Massachusetts. I'm a civil engineer with my MBA in the corporate world, wear a hard hat and stilt-toe boots some days. In the really male-dominated construction world, do a lot with women empowerment. I've started 2 women empowerment groups because of that, just getting our voices out there, recognizing we do deserve the seat at the board table. We do deserve to be part of these male-dominated organizations. And quite frankly, it really increases return on investment and the bottom line. Simultaneously, like I said, I really, really enjoy networking and doing different things in that capacity. I started my own podcast for that reason, so I can network with just other high dynamic, high vibing women, sharing their stories about grit, reminding each other that we need the grace, and also making sure we're celebrating the glitz, the good things that we're doing and accomplishing each and every day in our lifestyles. But I will say that I also wrote a book called You've Got This, Boss Mama. I truly believe that you can be a boss, you can be a mom, you can be a bossy mom if you really want to be, because I know sometimes I am, but really accomplishing our goals and not letting one, us having to pick one path versus the other. Most recently, I also was a TEDx speaker. I was brutally assaulted last year. Actually, today is the 1-year anniversary since I was, and I talked about the audacity to be resilient from something horrific that happened to me, being brutally assaulted by someone that I didn't know, a complete stranger, and taking that resiliency and going out and serving. We all deal with trauma, and going out and really serving other people and reminding them that no matter what's handed our way, what punches get blown in our face, that we can get out there and get back on our feet. And it does take resilience. But simultaneously, I absolutely love health and wellness. I'm my own health and wellness entrepreneurial business, just like you, and going out and serving. I really believe that's the foundation and the crux to everything we do in life, showing up, feeling our very best in our skin. And that's not about the size of the jeans that you have on. It's really about your vitality and your energy and your mental awareness to be able to go out and serve in all capacities and all the hats that we all wear in life. And I am so fortunate. My favorite role is that I'm a mom. I'm a mom of 2 children. I have a 6-year-old and a 9-year-old, a boy and a girl, Adeline and Drew, who are just the joys of my life, my biggest why and the biggest reasons that I do everything that I do. And a husband named Andy, and we live outside of the Philadelphia area, in the suburbs, and we love, love, love to travel. Every year we take a big adventure. We travel somewhere new, just because I believe that the gift of education, kindness and travel, you can never take away from your kids, and they're such life lessons. So with that being said, that's a little bit about the hats that I wear, Monique.
I love it. Oh my goodness, I love it. So I would love to hear, because you are very driven and you're very ambitious. And so I'm always kind of curious where people find that drive. So if you can think about, have you always been that way? Or is there something in your life that drives you to work as hard as you do?
Such a good question, Monique. I truly believe that I was born with a certain DNA. I'm an Aries. I'm a fiery red. I'm a firstborn child. High D on the DISC assessment, if anyone's ever taken it. So I believe that that DNA has always been in me. And my it's funny because someone actually made a comment. The woman who babysat me when my mom went back to work when I was a baby said, you always had that fierce like personality. And my mom always told me that Erica with a K meant strong and courageous. And so I think I've always kind of had that instilled in me. I think it's always kind of been part of my DNA, but I truly believe that society also impacts us. And, you know, I've gone through enough hurdles and struggles and trauma, just like we all have. And I truly believe that, again, going back to that elastic band, mine has gotten stretched and that resiliency has had to get stronger and building that grit, right? Going after things and goals and being goal oriented has always been who I am, but I believe it's probably gotten stronger the older that I've gotten. Just being able to recognize that, listen, we can wear a lot of different hats and do a lot of different things. And I'm motivated by accomplishment, right? I'm motivated. My love language is words of affirmation, right? And, you know, when I can accomplish things and do great things, like it's what motivates me. It's not what motivates everyone. I want you to remind any of your listeners today that just because maybe you don't wear as many hats or you wear more hats than me, it doesn't matter. Like wear the hats that fit your head, right?
Oh,
don't
I
try
love
to
that.
Be someone else.
Yeah.
So I think that's so important to make sure that we're setting the stage there. Cause I think sometimes we look at social media threads or we hear someone speaking on a podcast and we think, well, if we did more of this or less of this or did this or, you know, but it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, it's your life and to serve and to live on.
Yeah, I love that so much. Just being authentic to who you are and also what you feel like you're called to, because I think people have different callings. And obviously, you're called to multiple things. Some people are called to one thing. Some people are called to be home with their children. And so, you know, whatever that calling is specifically for you, I love that you said, you know, don't feel like you need to take on other hats. Yeah. So I would love to unpack the conversation of resiliency because I was listening to something recently and it was talking about, I'm always very intrigued by those who are successful and like, what are the habits of those who are successful? What are they doing? What kind of actions do they take? You know, what kind of discipline do they have? All those kinds of things. And so recently listening to something talking about those who are successful have the ability to be resilient. They have the ability when something comes across their path, when something is a struggle, you know, a lot of times those who take the easy path, when something becomes hard, they give up or they quit or, you know, or even those who aspire to do something great, they allow roadblocks to keep them stuck. But those who are the super successful, they have the ability to push past that and they have the ability to get back up, to solve a problem, to be resourceful. And so I would love for you to talk a little more in depth about what resiliency looks like from a practical standpoint. I'd love for you to share a little bit about your story with trauma. So if you want to unpack a little bit of that for us.
Absolutely. You know, and resiliency has a definition. And if you actually look it up, it's the capacity to recover quickly from difficulties and slash toughness, right? And at the end of the day, I truly believe, yes, it's the overcoming of things, but I believe resilience has so many definitions with under that definition, right? That's the overarching layer of it. But I believe that we all deal and celebrate resiliency in different ways, right? And resiliency can look very different based on our circumstances, our past, and quite frankly, what we want our future to look like. But I truly believe that resiliency is not something you're just born with. It's a muscle that has to be worked on. It has to be flexed. It has to be strengthened.
Yes.
And it has to be like matured. And just like going to the gym or eating healthy or training for a marathon or writing a book, like there takes consistency of it every day. And it's not something that instantly you're like, oh, I want to be more resilient tomorrow. Like it's something you need to continually work on.
And it's uncomfortable. You know, I think that's the thing that people have to recognize is like, it's uncomfortable. Like you have to embrace the suck. And sometimes when you're sitting in it, you just tell yourself like, this is it. This is the suck. This is the difficulty, but that is what is needed. I mean, I love that you use an analogy of like health. It's like, if you're building muscle, it is going to be painful. Like, it's going to be painful if you're lifting weight after weight after weight, but that is what's required in order to see the fruit of your labor.
Exactly. And I think so often people don't want to take that time, right? We're an impatient society, right? It's naturally, right? How fast can we pick up a phone? How fast can we make things happen? We'll take out, will my groceries be at my front door? Why is Amazon going to take 2 days to deliver my toothbrush when I feel like it should only take, 18 hours to get here, right? We're just in this fast paced society. And sometimes it takes, like you said, staying in that period. But I always say, when you get in that stuck period, ask yourself, is this going to bother me 5 hours from now? Is it going to bother me 5 days from now? Is it going to bother me 5 months from now? Is it going to bother me 5 years from now? And dependent on where that level is, if it's only going to bother you 5 days from now, how much time do you really want to spend on that? Excuse me.
Yeah. And I think that's an important thing. I love what you had said a second ago. You said, what will we want our future to look like? Because I think if you are trying to unpack, walking through resistance and walking through what's required in order for you to get from point A to point B, if you don't have a vision, if you're not clear, then of course, when the challenges come up, you're like, this is pointless. But if you're really clear on what you want your future to look like, you are willing to withstand the struggle.
Right. And I'm out, excuse me. And also staying in that period. Do you need to stay in that period for that long? If it's something that's going to bother you 5 years from now, maybe you do need to spend more time with it, right? If it's something that's really going to impact your future. Or is it something that is just a small drop in the bucket that isn't going to have an overall impact in your life? And be willing to ask yourself that question when you come up against it. But you need to practice it. You need to practice it for yourself, for others that are watching you, especially our kids, right? And it's easy to get stuck in that period. But I always ask myself, like, would I rather stay stuck in this pain or would I rather create action? And I truly believe when you create action around resiliency, when something bad happens, think about how you can reciprocate and help someone out. How can you be that light?
Yeah. And it makes it not about yourself.
And that really comes full circle with my story is, how can I be a light for someone else during a tragic time? A year ago today, June 16th, 2022, I was brutally assaulted by a stranger. I almost saw my life almost taken, in front of me. And at that point, it happened in suburban America.
Can you share a little bit about what happened?
When I least expected it. So, summer day, husband's in Kansas City, two kids are with the sitter, first week off of school. And what I will say to you is, I was driving to work the same way that I always did. I pulled into my parking lot, drank the rest of my lemon hot water, went to go open my car door. Things were sitting next to me in my passenger side seat where I usually keep my purse and lunch bucket and everything else in between. Went to go open my door, leaned over to grab my stuff. As I turned around, there was a 6'2", 230-pound gentleman standing there. I should call him a perpetrator. Standing there, I asked him if I could help him and instantly punched me in the face, took me by the hair, threw me to the ground, beat the living crap out of me. I tried to struggle. I tried to kick. I tried to scream. I tried to bite. I tried everything I could that I knew was humanly possible to get out of that grip of his wrath. And I was actually his sixth victim. He had assaulted four women downtown in Philadelphia the evening before, got on a bus, raped a woman at another stop, got back on that bus, changed his clothes at another stop, got back on that bus and got off at the bus stop that was located adjacent to my office, 10 a.m. in the morning. As I was exiting my car, this is what happened. Then he came underneath me and he strangled me. And at that point, I thought it was my last breath that I would ever have on this earth. I thought about my two children and that even though he strangled me so quickly, that last moment before I took that last breath, there was so many thoughts that ran through my head. Like, will this be my last breath? Will my kids ever be okay? How will my husband be? It's crazy how your body works. And so fortunately, by an act of God or someone much greater than me, it wasn't my time. I was able to come to my feet and run for help. He was in my car trying to take it at that point fortunately or unfortunately, he was not able to start the car. It was a remote starter, and he actually fled by foot. I had no idea if he would chase me, had a gun, would attack me from the back, but I ran as hard as I could. And that 200-yard dash seemed like it was a marathon. And as I ran into that building, blood-curdled scream of just someone to help me. Meanwhile, he went by foot and started escaping, buried himself. They had to send the dogs and the drones in and actually found him burying himself into some large grasses or some marsh area. He's still in a correctional facility and he has not been sentenced. The blood on my shirt has not come back confirmed that I was definitely one of the victims, and I'm still waiting for his trial. So it's been a long year of wondering, waiting, but I decided I had two choices, Monique. I could live in fear, and I could live in a cocoon, and I could stay at home, or I could go out and serve. And I chose the latter. I'm not saying everyone can do that, but I was hell-bent on, I'm not going to let him win. I'm not going to let this man take me down. I'm not going to let this stop my life. I'm going to go out and be the light for other women. And this week, actually, and this month, I'm actually raising money for women of domestic assault, women who can't be a voice, who don't have a light, can't talk about it. I didn't know my perpetrator, fortunately, or unfortunately, however you want to look at it, but I can talk about it. I can feel confident enough to go out and be the light for other people. And I truly believe that when you go through something horrific, think about what you can do for someone else who's suffering even worse than you. And that has helped me through every step of this recovery, talking about it, speaking on stages about it, and inspiring other people to overcome their own resilience. Their own resilience is going to look different than mine. And what I want to remind anyone that's listening to this podcast right now is no trauma is worse or better than anyone else's. It's all different. Someone that's living in a horrible marriage who is being domestically assaulted is no worse than my bloody face that day and being rushed to trauma, you know, or someone that is dealing with a child who has a severe learning disability, right? Or someone that lost a significant other. We all deal with trauma and we all deal with it differently, but think about how can you help someone else through your own trauma?
Wow. Erica, I just first want to acknowledge like what you've walked through. And I am so sorry that that was your experience. And I love that you look at that situation and say, I will not let him win. Like I will rise up and I'll be that voice for those who don't have a voice. So as you share that, I think, first of all, I'm so humbled and honored to even be having this conversation and you sharing your story. The other thing that comes to mind is like, I'm also curious about this past year. So today is your 1 year anniversary of that experience. And so what has the trauma recovery in this past year looked like for you?
Oh, such a great question, Monique. You know, a lot of soul searching, right? A lot of soul searching and finding out like how I was going to get through this. This isn't like a prescription, right? Where you just take two rights, one left and jump over the bridge, right? Like what does that recovery process look like? And what I recognized is I really needed to make sure that I was getting myself the right therapy and the right help. But I've recognized for myself, and again, everyone deals with it differently, talking about it is actually a form of my therapy. So podcasts like this, speaking to women's groups, sharing my story has really actually helped me recover from it and given me strength to say, God didn't do this to me. It happened for me to go and serve in a different way. Yeah. And I love that when I think about that at all places. So has it been easy? I haven't had a direct route from A to B. But recognizing when I feel the pain or I feel the trauma, it's okay to live in that moment and work through that. But also recognizing that action and helping others and finding, you know, other groups that you can align with and talking to other people, you know, a lot just last night, I actually was on the phone with a woman from Atlanta who actually just got shot in the face less than 4 weeks ago. Random attacker. She found out about my story and we connected and being a voice of hope for her gave me even more strength.
Yeah. Because it's not just you, right? It's all those who are coming after you who've experienced something similar that you can show them, hey, if I can get through this, you can too.
Yes. And I think that's in all aspects and even outside of trauma, even in business, right? Like You took the first step. You paved the first road. You did, you know what I mean? Like, how can you help anyone that's behind you? And I truly believe as women, as leaders, as males, whoever's listening to this right now, lift as you rise, lift other people as you rise in all aspects of your life, whether it's trauma, it's just normal life, it's being a mom, it's being a dad, it's, you know, being a coach, whatever it is, be that light for someone else and lift other people because other people need it. Mental illness right now is at the absolute highest and the rate of suicide is absolutely astonishing that it's one of the 10 top leading causes of death and the only one in the last 10 years that hasn't decreased. And we need to be normalizing this because people are getting in dark, dark holes. And if we aren't helping bringing other people along, we're really doing a disservice, not only to ourselves, but to everyone else who needs us.
Yeah. And disclosing it, talking about it, because I think for so long, people remain silent. And that's why I love, you know, that you're here sharing your story, because when we can talk about what's going on, it gives that other person who has been in silence an opportunity to see other people who, you know, are in a similar story and to know that it's possible for them to walk right through. So as deep as this is, I want to shift gears and this is similar because you're talking about resiliency through walking through trauma, but I think resiliency in business, I would love for you to share about your Isagenics journey and how you've achieved the success that you've achieved.
Mm. Well, I think you have to find, and you know, I always say this to my own children, find something you're passionate about. I've always been passionate. I said, what makes me jump out of bed at 3:45 every morning? And that's to get to the gym. That's to move my body. That's health and wellness, right? And I truly believe that when you align yourself with something that gives you passion and purpose, the success follows, right? So find something, one, don't chase the money, chase the passion. What's going to make you excited? And the money will be there, I promise. What I will say is, coming up with systems and really finding ways to do it smarter, not harder, right? And also really finding, defending your time, right? If you have something that you want to work on, so many times I could have found reasons like not to make time for this success, but I'm like every day, I have to find an hour a day to put into this business, right? I have to, because I want it. Or I get to look at it as an opportunity versus a task. And to me, when you defend that time and you find that passion and purpose and you're willing to bring a lot of other people with you and be that inspiration, insanely awesome things can happen.
Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah. And when it comes to finding that time, I think it's making it a non-negotiable, you know, removing the emotion. This is what we teach in our coaching program, is like removing the emotion out of the decision-making, right? It's not an unwavering, I always use the analogy of like brushing your teeth. You don't get up and say, do I feel like brushing my teeth today? Like, am I motivated to do it? You just do it because it's part of your daily habits. And so when it comes to business building activities, that's exactly right. Like you find the time to say like, you know, what needs to get done in my business today and making that a non-negotiable.
Yep. And I always say consistency is key. People always ask me, how did you build such a successful business? I was like, I showed up every day. I was like, sometimes that was 15 minutes and it was messy and it was dirty. And like, I barely knew what I was doing. And there was other days where I could put 3 hours into it. Like, and you got to find that time of like defending that time and having a daily mode of operation. What are the things, like you said, that are non-negotiable that you're going to do every day to move the needle, and spending the time on the things that are going to produce results versus just busy work.
Yeah. So as far as the advice that you would give, because I've got a lot of network marketers who are listening to my podcast, so I'm going to repeat what you said, have your passion and purpose, systems to work smarter instead of harder, defending your time and you taking that messy action, whether it's 15 minutes a day or a longer amount of time, but just the willingness to be consistent in your business. Yep.
And knowing what that consistency looks like. If you know what you have 15 minutes, I always say it's like going to the grocery store. If your kids are in the car, it's a Sunday evening and you know you have to get home, make dinner, get them packed for school tomorrow, do all these things. And, you know, maybe your significant other is sitting in the driver's seat and says, run in and grab what you need. You are going to be so efficient. You're probably going to get your grocery shopping done in 12 minutes and get the things that you just absolutely need to. If you go there on a you know, Saturday morning and you have a cup of coffee and the store is pretty empty, it could take you an hour and a half and you could be exploring, you know, nutrition labels and doing this. I'm not saying that's not, don't do that every once in a while, but with your business, I think you have to think of it the same way, right? Time is money and time is the only thing we can't really recreate. So how are you going to make the most of that time?
Yeah.
And if you think of it in that philosophy and you say, okay, if I know, yeah, I get 15 minutes, I'm sitting in the car until soccer practice ends, what can I do to get done? That's absolutely going to move the needle. And make sure you know what that plan is. Every morning I wake up and I say, okay, what are five things, like five people that I could catch up with? Or what are, you know, and I have many times when I first started my business, I actually took a thing of sticky notes and I always had that with me every morning and I'd put it on my dashboard. And when I was driving, it would make me think of the five things that before I parked that car in the evening, I needed to get done to move the needle in my business. And that really helped me hold myself accountable.
Yeah, I love that grocery store analogy. I've never heard that before, but that's exactly accurate. Like if you go in and you're like, okay, I need to get this, 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 like, you know exactly what you're doing, you can get it done versus taking a lot longer than what's needed. And I think so often, and honestly, that is what we do in our coaching program, is we give people the exact strategy of like, okay, here are the things, the IPAs, the income producing activities that are needed. And that's the focus. Like that is what you need to focus on. Because so often people can be, you know, scrolling social media, creating pretty graphics, all those kinds of things, and thinking that they're working. And like, yes, you know, there are things that are important there. But if you're not doing the actions that are leading to productivity, that are leading to team growth, that are leading to, you know, new customers, like you don't have a business.
Mm-mm. Nope. Or any longevity that way. So I 100% agree. And I always say, listen, the whole grocery store scenario, like I guarantee scenario A versus B, A, you're going to spend a lot less time and money. And at the end of the day, don't we all want more time and money? Right. You know what I mean? So like, you pick the aisles you're going to travel down.
Yes.
Right. Because I could scroll, I could spend 3 hours saying I'm working my business and scroll social media and do two posts and be like, oh, I got nothing done, right? Or I could be like, hey, listen, I'm going to reach out to 10 people. I'm going to follow up with this builder. And then if I have time, I'll scroll social media for 5 minutes and do a post. And good, I always say too, the older I get, the more is make it good enough, but it doesn't need to be perfect. Because there's no such thing as perfect.
Yes.
I think sometimes we overanalyze so many things that we spend way too much time worrying, what if we change this? Or what if this was an explanation point? Or what if we got a better picture? You know what? Like, good enough.
And that's really where a lot of people get stuck, is they sit there and think, oh, I have to have the perfect post. I have to have the perfect this, you know, versus just, you know, we were talking before we started recording about taking messy action. Like, there are things, and I truly believe this is myself and Becky, my business partner, like we are both that personality of, yes, we get a lot of things done, but oftentimes it's like, okay, you get it done. And there are times you look back and say, okay, I need to do this a little bit better or a little differently or whatever. But if you're more focused on just getting the tasks done, you will go so much further, so much faster than those who are concerned about like perfection and making sure that everything is done perfectly in your business.
Yep. And people don't want perfect. At the end of the day, like, I don't want to work for a perfect boss, or I don't want to work with a perfect team. I want to work with the messy, because that's life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. So Erica, you're a leader. What would you say when you look at your leadership and you look at the team that you have developed, what would you say is like one tip that you would give as a leader of, you know, this is what has helped me with my team?
You know, I really would say it's defending the time. I'm going to go back to that. I know I already said that before, but like at the end of the day, you know, time is our most precious commodity in life. And the older I get, the more I realize how precious it is, and defend the time to take the actions that need to be taken. So every week I love to sit down on Sunday and look at my calendar and say, when am I fitting this in? Just like I'm going to fit in my dentist appointment, just like I'm going to fit in my date night, just like I'm going to fit in wine with the girls, right? Like, I need to treat my business the same way and put it on your calendar and make it non-negotiable. And if you don't, it's not going to get done. And then 1 week's going to lead to a next and the next, and then you're going to look back and say, why did my business grow?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, I love that. So good. Yeah. That's a helpful reminder, you know, part of boundaries. That's my word of the year this year.
Yep.
But it's boundary setting and just making sure that you're prioritizing yourself and your business. So
absolutely. 100%.
All right. Well, I am loving this conversation. And so for those who are listening for my podcast, how can they find you and connect with you?
Oh my goodness. Well, I'll definitely give you some things. Hopefully maybe we can throw them in the show notes, but Erica Lee Rothenberger, Rothenberger. I know 12 letters, my poor children, on standardized tests. I am on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. But you can also always reach out to me in, you know, that way or on my podcast, Grit, Grace, and Glitz. It's on Spotify. It's on Apple. You can find it out there. And I would love to connect with you. Always, always so inspired. I get just as inspired by the people that reach out to me as I hopefully they do from me.
Yes. And I will put all that in the show notes so that you guys please go follow Erica. And if you are listening on Erica's podcast, I am Monique Scripp and I am a business leadership coach. You can find me on Instagram at Monique Scripp Coaching. I guess I'll spell my last name. It's S-C-R-I-P. There's no T. So Monique Scripp Coaching on Instagram. That is probably my favorite place to connect. Or you can download the Legacy Leader podcast. And we do network marketing coaching, leadership coaching. So thank you for this conversation. I am just so inspired by you, Erica. Thank you for the time of joining us today. And I hope that other people hear what you have walked through and it just reminds them, like, get up and do something for somebody else.
Amen. Thank you so much for having me, Monique. This has been absolutely such a beautiful collaboration. I really look forward to continuing to run alongside you and just seeing where we can take this entire industry and trauma. Right?
Yes.
The end of the day, that's what it all comes down to, you know, personally and professionally, where we're all going in life.
Yes. Thank you.
I hope you learned a lot from today's episode, and I cannot wait for you to catch our next episode. I'll see you back here next time on an all new episode of Grit, Grace, and Glitz.